Tonight is going to be like a kind of a reflective sermon, what I learned from the gospel. The interesting thing is every now and then I do a sermon like this and typically the content change. I like to take what I learned from God personally and just share it with you guys. It's quite a devotional message. I can put it in that box. What I ask myself is if my son is 10 years old or I don't know, 15 or 20, whatever. And he wants to sit with me and he asks me, so dad, just tell me your experience with God and church and the gospel and with your own life changing and seeing other people change. Give me some tips. What have you experienced? What have you learned in your walk with God? Share with me. Then this would be what I would share with him if that was the occasion tonight. This is a sermon that I have that I edit as I go along, and sometimes I take points out. But it's whatever is spinning in my heart, just to bring it up to the surface and share with it. And I really enjoy doing that. I enjoy sharing my heart and my life with others. So it's amazing to have you here tonight. And so this is where I'm at tonight. And so tonight there's a few things that I want to chat through, and I trust that you will enjoy it. What I learned from the gospel, if I could just explain that for a moment, what is the gospel? It's the good news, it's what it means. But in this setting, what I mean by it is, if you think of Jesus Christ coming into my life, changing me, then adding me to his house as he instructs in his words, and allowing me to experience different part of him, like being on missions, receiving ministry, giving ministry, relating to a pastor, which I had when I was younger, and still I have seniors, and just the whole gospel, everything that's contained in God's word. My experience of that, if I have to reflect on that, here's a few things that I would like to share with a crowd that is willing to listen, which I believe you are. So are you ready? The first thing that I've learned from the gospel over and over is that the gospel makes the weak brave. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Isn't this like an awesome scripture to take on missions, guys? To keep you on the front foot, to keep you obedient. And what I've realized is I've seen so many people in this world, including myself foremost, trying to be brave at different stages of their life, needing to step up or to make difficult decisions. I've seen some people succeed. I've seen many people talk a good game. But here's what I've observed over and over. The gospel really makes people brave. I remember when I was young, I knew there was stuff in me. I couldn't put my finger on it because God hadn't opened my eyes at that stage. I knew I was meant to, you know, follow God and lead people. So I did lead people to Fang Nonsense An. I mean, we did the most horrible things, and I just got the guys together and we did it. It was everything from throwing eggs into cars, onto cars, onto houses, you know, just being naughty, you know. There was just no vision, but there was a drive to lead. And I remember there was times, that was before I actually gave my life to Jesus. I literally wanted to please God. So I took the Bible and I started to summarize it. And it didn't make sense to me because the Holy Spirit wasn't revealing scripture to me. I was just making my little Rechmerk is, oh, I did it tonight. One more chapter. And I was trying, but nothing clicked. And then one day, 2002, the end of the year, I was on my knees and God touched me. I started to cry like a woman. And I don't feel ashamed of it. And I remember at that moment, a man came to me, and he was an older guy that was praying for me. And he put his hand on my back and he said, Varys, it's time for you to decide. And I decided that I want to follow God. By the way, that guy, his name is Carl, and he's coming to our church next month to preach here. Hoo-hoo. Yes, I'm looking forward. I can't wait. He's basically the person who led me to the Lord many years ago. In any case, and I got up from that floor and everything changed. God imparted the vision into my life and I started to lead and I became brave. Things turned around. I walked out of that place. 1 week later, that church, it was a very small church in the town where I grew up, went to a farm to minister to the farm workers. And so I was on my first mission. 1 week after, I was on my knees crying, I can't already plaster to know, and we're going to pray for the people. So instead of throwing eggs on houses and stuff, I went to the farm. All right, first mission. And so they're praying for this one lady, and they said, Varys, come here, also put your hand on her, because we're going to pray for her. She's asking for prayer. And as I put my hand on her, this woman started to shake. And I don't know what was happening. All I know is God was telling me that I'm going to use you in your life. And everything changed. I got baptized after telling my dad. He cried because he was mad at me because I wanted to get baptized. Then my mom cried and then I cried and the dog ran away and everything happened. And I'm like, God, I just want to be obedient. I just want to serve you. I just want to do the right thing. And here's my parents and this thing is training and God's just saying, I'm making a man out of you. You want to follow me whether people agree with it or not. It's time to be brave. And I became brave. Came into the res at first, a res is a courses. At first, everything in my life that was important was how people viewed me. I went to the res and I just served God. Some of the guys didn't like it, others loved it. I didn't care, I just started to serve Him. And so I've observed over the years people's stories following the same pattern as mine. And there's nothing like it. I remember a man in res, his name is Andres. We prayed for him for 2 years. God came into his life, stood up in front of the whole courses, and he said, guys, because in our res, before we eat, we pray together because we're a small res, like 120 people. And so we would pray, and then someone will maybe share something. So he'd stand up and he'd say, I just want to tell everyone here, I gave my heart to Jesus. He made the proclamation to everyone. That night, he went into his room and he sinned in some other way. And the next day, he came back and he stood up again. He said, guys, I just want to tell you, I sinned last night. This is what I did and I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. The gospel makes men brave to stand up and share and be vulnerable. Junaid, at that time, she wasn't going out with me. In my third year, there was a mission team feedback on the screen, and she went actually to Zimbabwe, to Ludwig. That was 2005, I think. We already sent teams to Ludwig, or maybe it was 2006, I'm not sure. And there she was, and now we used to go out in school, and we were fighting around petty things, really just blow the wind just blowing us one way or another. And here's the same girl that went out with me in high school, going on a mission, not caring how she looks, dirty from Zimbabwe soil, sharing a testimony, and focusing on doing God's work. What changed? The gospel makes people brave. What I saw there in my wife, Junaid, on that screen, was a lot more attractive than all the makeup and all the stuff women often use to make themselves pretty. I saw the heart. Brave. That's what the gospel does. Isn't that amazing? I've seen an interesting thing also in our family when it comes to this. We're praying for Junaid's brother and he took a while to accept God. And then one day he just gave his life to God. And now we're having this family meeting. Everyone is there and we are chatting away. There's also another family that's joining us. And Junaid's brother, he won't mind me telling the story. His name is Yaku. Some of you have met him. Gave his heart to God and he's really, really lives with a conviction. But he was still a very young believer back then. And often the family were just, he's the youngest one. So, Asmaneto Yaku, you know, he's the youngest one. And so this one day, one of the people around the table makes a comment, another young man that was there. No, he was at a wedding and the bride got so drunk. It was so funny. And Yaakov put down his fork. He said, that's not funny. What happened that day is very important. That's a bride. She is supposed to be celebrated and respected. I don't think it's funny at all. And there was silence around the table as truth came in through this young man, the youngest one in the family. The gospel makes us brave. Isn't that amazing? Check this cool scripture. Doesn't start as hopeful. For your sake, we are being killed all day long. That doesn't sound nice. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Paul explaining that the gospel will often result in you losing many things, including your life. But now in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. The love of Christ will not keep you from the deepest or the darkest places. It will carry you through. What is around your ankle? Be brave and chop it off. What is happening in the secret part of your life? Be brave and go and talk to someone about it. The gospel can do that. It can help you to stand up and overcome anything that comes against you. Any fear, any worry, anything that's weighing on your shoulders. Let me tell you what, you have Christ in you. And I've seen people overcoming the most harshest of circumstances in battle because they're holding on to Christ. What about you? Amen? The gospel makes the weak brave. I don't care what people say about you. When He comes into your life, there's a new chapter starting. Amen? The second thing I want to say, and I just love the church, is a partnership beats a lone ranger any day of the week. This is always one of my favorite things when it comes to the church of Christ. We see it in scripture over and over. The body, the us, the our Father, the coming together. Now, you are the body of Christ and individually you are members of it. What then, brothers, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue or an interpretation. When we come together, we take hands and then the kingdom happens. When we are together. Now, in my life, when I just walked into Res as a young man, just gave my heart to God, there was one friend, he's still one of my close friends today. His name is Alistair Green. Carl will know him. He was also in Ace Marie. Carl was also in my Res, by the way. We prayed a lot for that place. And we were what you would call accountability partners. We prayed together. Ugh, I don't know how many hours we spent talking about ladies, you know. Yo, I want God to give me a wife. You're only like 18 years old. And like, <let's> just, yeah. But whatever was on our hearts, we shared. When we read the Bible, we shared. When we had a tough day, we shared. And you need someone you can share with, amen? You need an accountability partner, but it's really just a friend whose heart is open to you, that you may speak with them, and pray with them, someone that can pray with you, that can understand you. But let me just have a bit of a illustration. Can I just have a few people? Kom gou die hele voorste ry. Well, let's leave the visitors. Julle kan sit. Daai ry kom hierso. Okay, so I want to show you something because it's an interesting thing that we're going through in our church. What you'll realize is when the church is 20 people, the pastor is everyone's best friend because there's only 20 people in the church. And as the church grows, it's a bit of a, you know, it's a growth process. How do we deal with this? But when I went to Stellenbosch, there was already 600 people in the church. I never spoke to the pastor. I still grow. to be a pastor myself without sitting with the pastor every week. And I want to just show you something. If you guys would be the accountability partners, will you stay at the bottom, please? And Rian, you can be the small group leader. Will you just stand on this basement? And will the rest of you just stand on the stage, please? So I just want to, in a way, just draw a picture of a church. So if these two are the friends, they would be, yeah, like Alistair and myself in Res. And, yeah. listen, this is the person you have the most access to. It's your friend. The one who loves God and loves you and cares for you. And you guys, you do stuff together or you work together or you met in small group, but you probably, when it comes to the kingdom, will spend your most time with this person, or maybe it's a group, and you have access to one another. Does that make sense? This is your accountability partner. But then in church, how these partnerships work is that there's a small group leader. And when there's sometimes things you guys can't get to that doesn't make sense, you've got someone to take it to. Rian, we prayed through this or that and we're not sure, but will you help us? What is your heart when it comes to this issue or that issue? And so God provides a covering. And then apart from your small group leader, you've got the church, which gives like foundations and Bible school and missions. And so you find yourself here, but you are actually within a safe environment, a bigger family. This is how family looks like in the kingdom. There's authority, there's relationship, and there's this family that's going somewhere. I don't know of one respected pastor or minister in the whole world that works on his own. There's no such person. Because here's the thing, if you want to be a great leader, but you are not willing to follow, that makes you a hypocrite. I want to lead, but I'm not willing to follow. And so what we do from the start is we say, we buy into a vision. We serve and we follow and we move, that God may develop leadership in me as well. Amen? You guys can sit down. A partnership beats a Lone Ranger any day of the week. And so what I want to tell you is that this family will work on your nerves a lot of the time. They will make you very glad sometimes. They will make you very mad certain times. But there's no offense that can happen here that is worth it, that you walk away from what you have here. All right? And so I want to encourage you. Find your place. If you're near around you, find your place in this house. You are so welcome here. Find a small group. Pray that God gives you a friend to share your heart with, to share life with, to pray with you, and grow in the family. Amen? This has changed my life. Number three, less of me and more of him. This is what I've learned from the gospel. And John answered, I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. It's almost like John's first glimpse at Jesus, and he's speaking about Christ to the people around him. He must increase, but I must decrease. What I've learned from the gospel over and over in my own life and in the lives of others is you cannot become a part of God's church or become a part of God's journey for the reason to be recognized. Does that make sense? This is the one place in the world where you lay your life down without someone having to say, you are so amazing. This is the one place where I see people giving time, praying, serving. And then they say, if Jesus be glorified, then I'm happy. As long as I'm not seen. Now, I've seen many people start journeying in church. Many people come with great excitement. This is going to be amazing. And I've seen many fall away. If my expectation is to be great, at some stage, church will disappoint me and I will fall away. If my expectation is, Lord, if I may only serve you, if I may only dwell in your house, if I can only be in your presence and be of meaning, please, then you will remain. Less of me and more of him. The world cannot understand this. This does not make sense in a transactional world where you give to receive, where you work to be paid, where you measure working hours with money given back. And that's nothing wrong with business. All I'm saying is the kingdom of God is upside down. Now, I've been blown away in church through the years, and especially even in this church. I know people in this church who will serve when no one looks. I know they will remain in the faith forever. I know people who gives financially when no one knows, and they hope no one knows, but often I just see, and I see, I say to myself, wow, less of me and more of you. This is what the gospel is about. If I can share this one day with my son, if that was the, this would be what I share, one of my most important points. And so I also want to issue a challenge with this. And here's my challenge. If you want to experience the fullness of God, you have to let go. You have to allow him to rewrite your life. You need to make the pages blank. Let go. I can use missions as an example and go on missions. Let go of your holiday by the sea. You do it every year. Let go. And go and change lives. Less of me and more of him. Let go of that 3,000 rand. Have the discipline. Save it up and spend it. Invest it in the kingdom. Let go. I'm talking straight, but this is what the gospel is. It cost you your life. Here's the thing. You only love what you sacrifice for. And godly woman knows this. Okay? That's why if you're here tonight, if you know God and you are single, and I'm just going to relationship month for a moment, that's why your body is sacred. Until you are married to him. He will only love what he sacrificed for. He will only love what he pursues in purity. What he prays into. What he fasts for. Who he cares for. If you give it away, you'll get hurt. But now here's the thing about the human heart. Is we know that when something is valuable, we give our lives for it. It's the gospel. We give everything. So I want to challenge you, let go of whatever is holding you back to do God's will. Become less and you will see stuff exploding in your life like you've never seen before. Trust him. What is holding you back? Give it to him. Amen? Less of me and more of him. Not a long sermon, but I hope it makes an impact. Are you still with me? Number four, expect the unexpected. I'm telling you, I never cease to get surprises in the kingdom, and I've learned to live with it. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. I don't know if you know what that means. But be ready to obey God whether you feel like it or not. Just be ready in and out of season. I've just got Isaiah on there as well. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. So be ready to be surprised. Be ready to know that it is a normal day at the office when things run not like you expected it to run. Because His thoughts are not your thoughts. Different things are going to come your way in this world, in this church, in your home. All right? Now, I've been surprised on different levels, and this is an example I've used before as well. It's amazing how God works. Sometimes, this may sound a bit negative, but maybe it's just the truth, so just take it as it is. Sometimes someone comes through the doors at church, and they just know the right words. They look like they've no church. When they talk with me, I am amazed by their perception of God and church. And we go for coffee and they blow me away further. And I think, God, this is the next pastor. This person is going to do amazing work for you. 3 months down the line, poof, expect the unexpected. They are gone. Things are not as it seems. Other times, I don't notice someone in church. I have to be honest, guys, I'm not perfect. I have a lot of sin and ek dra ook brille, okay? I don't notice someone 2 years down the line. I'm like, this person, how did I not see it? 2 years later, week in, week out, week in, week out, never complain, never walks in a way that they're always with a smile at church, always serving. I'm like, God, how did I not see? And someone else, and God says, that's the man. Expect the unexpected. This is just the gospel. That's one level of it. On another level, what I want to say is, in life, you're going to be surprised with things. You're going to have stuff planned out. You and God are going to do this. And then one day you're going to wake up and you're going to be very disappointed because God's agenda was different. I just want to encourage you. When stuff hits you like a curveball, have faith. Go back to Him. Talk with Him. Trust Him. We can't control things in this life. There's many things we can control. There's many things we can't. Just when you think things are going well, someone very close to you gets very sick. And maybe God takes them home. You cannot control this. The gospel makes a space for that. It's called faith. You just hold on to Jesus. Doesn't matter what come your way. You planned your life at the age of this. This is going to happen. At the age of that, that is going to happen. And at that age, C is going to happen. Now you pause that age and A has not happened. You know what? Hold on to God. His seasons work different. So don't let the expectations of life or even the expectation that other people place upon you throw you off balance spiritually when things work out differently. It's just life. Here is what you can control. Are you holding onto His hand or not? And if my son would be at an age where he can explain this, maybe just before he goes to high school, I would love him to understand this. Son, great things are going to happen and bad things are going to happen. Hold on to Jesus. Pray, talk, sing. Just remain faithful. Who knows? Let's have some Bible quiz. Have some fun. I need to buy some time. I'm very fast tonight. So I'm going to play around a bit. Is that okay? I have no problem. I've got no problem with finishing off. Who knows the name of Samuel's mom? Yeah, Hannah. Not the one on American TV. So what was Hannah's problem? Who knows? What was her expectation? She wanted to have a baby. Okay. And then one day, she got the news. Where did she get that news? Where did she get that news? At the temple, where she was faithfully praying, crying out to God. Who knows the name of John the Baptist's mom? Elizabeth. And her husband, Zechariah, he was a priest. They were very old. It's like a shadow of the story of Abraham. Okay? Couldn't get any children. An angel came and brought the news to Zechariah when he was doing what? Serving in the temple. Serving God faithfully year after year. He remained faithful even though in his own perception there was needs. There was a cry of his heart that God had not yet answered. Yet the angel found him where? In God's presence, being faithful. You're going to have a son. Call him John. What about you? While you are waiting, while you have expectations, don't give up. When God comes to find you, to speak with you, let Him find you at a place where you are faithful. Worshiping Him, serving His house, caring for others. Amen? Awesome. Expect the unexpected. And then the last point, what I've learned from the gospel over and over is it's the gospel of grace and mercy. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am foremost. That's Paul explaining the saving grace of God. And what I've just seen over and over, and maybe I've experienced it, is that the more I get to know God and the more I worship Him and I read His Word, I'm like, how do we have relationship? You and me. On the one side, we have God, big, powerful, mighty, loving, perfect in every single way. And then you have me over here. And then He comes to me. And He says, I want to be your friend. I'm like, what? You should squash me. That's where I'm at. I know what's going on in my life. I know what I've done. No. I want to use you to do amazing things. I want to use you to change lives. Change lives. I can't even change my own life. We'll figure that out. Are you willing to follow me? I want to use you. How? Because I will use you even if you come from a place where you've messed up so many times. That's my grace. I want to forgive you. I want to wash you. I want to give you another chance and then another, then another, then another, because I am committed to you. That's God. How does that work? How does a human mind understand? We can't fully. It's not from here. It's from heaven. And so maybe the important thing for me to ask you is your self-perception of your sin and of your past maybe limiting your relationship with God? Do you maybe believe somewhere in your heart that other people like Varys God can use, but I'm too sinful? Listen, firstly, you don't know me. I've got probably more sin than all of you guys. God still used me because of His grace and mercy. What about you? What about the stuff He wants to do in your life? Firstly, you need to come to Him. You need to give your hand to Him. Say, okay, God, understand now. I'm a mess. Just make a message out of my life. And then you need to trust Him that He wants to use you over and over and over in this world. That is the gospel. Perfect God using people like me and you in this town to see amazing things happen. Isn't that amazing? That's the God we serve. So I want to pray tonight for us. I want to pray a simple prayer. I want to pray that God will shift things in our mind, that there will be no limitations to the extent He can use us. That we will just jump into His plans for us. And we will say, yes, Lord, use me. Listen, if you want to be used, when you are perfect, you're going to wait a very long time. Okay? You need to start now. Amen? He wants to use you where you are. He wants to use us to do amazing things in this town. Let's stand tonight.